Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. It's another big weekend of college football, specifically in the SEC. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Ryan McGee from ESPN, also co-host of Marty and McGee. Ryan, what's going on, man?
You know, we're playing some games, not as many games as we're scheduled, but that's just how that goes, and I'm just glad we're playing games at all.
I am right there with you. And Ryan, to that point, Nick Saban testing positive for COVID-19, Greg Byrne as well, Alabama athletic director. Obviously, the first thought is with their health, and it looks like Saban is okay and doing well, but how do you think that affects this matchup between Alabama and Georgia, not having Saban there?
Oh, listen, having the boss there is a big deal. And not having him there is a really big deal. And so there's no question. Listen, you know, there's the process and there's the system and, you know, greatest assistant coaches in college football and all that stuff. So, I mean, the machine will run up to a point. But, you know, you guys know this. I wrote that book with my dad, and my favorite quote in the book about, you know, officiating is my dad's first mentor when he first started in college football said, listen, I can go get anybody out of the grandstands to call 95% of the games or call the plays in this game. But it's that other 5% when you really have to make the decision, pass interference or not or whatever. You know, there's only a small percentage of people who have the guts to make that call and can stay cool-headed. Coaching's the exact same way. You know, your staff is ready, and there's no question that everybody on that sideline at Alabama is ready to go for 95% of it. But there's that other 5% where they always look at the head coach. Coach, what do we do now? And so if he's not there, that's going to be a really big deal. So I'm curious to see. But there's still a chance that he could be there. He's basically being tested every other hour at this point. And so if he has three negatives, he can do it. And, you know, we'll see. But yeah, it will be a really big deal if he's not on the sideline.
No, that's a great point. You know, fourth and one at the 45, you know, fourth quarter, yeah. Tie game, whatever it is. I mean, big decisions. At the very least, that's the impact of – a great head coach has on the sideline, even if he delegates a lot of the play-by-play stuff to other people. But I've seen Ryan. There's been some interesting stuff, of course, on Twitter, including the Butch Jones. What is it like FaceTime thing on a helmet?
You know, yeah, this is great. Yeah.
I do wonder. You know, in all seriousness, if you're Nick Saban and you can't be there, like what's he going to do? What is he going to be doing during that game? Does he not at least try to get like a direct feed or something, a text somebody? I mean, what do you think?
Oh no, he will definitely have access to stuff that the rest of us don't have.
Yeah, right.
And there's no question in my mind there will be some sort of way to communicate. I mean, there will be. It's just they're too smart. You got guys up in a box, and you got people on the sideline, and you got the fact that it's in Tuscaloosa. I think if you think that they're not going to figure out some way to communicate, you're nuts. And there's a NASCAR equivalent to this. You know, I've seen it before. I remember years ago, Ricky Rudd had a crew chief named Fatback McSwain, which is one of the greatest names of all time.
Yes, it's
beautiful.
We did
a whole thing at ESPN where we went to his – Fatback had like, I think it was back surgery, and he couldn't go to the track. But he still called the race from his bed at home. You know, he pulled a Hugh Freeze. He just wasn't in the stadium. And so, you know, but he was on the radio with the team, and he had his computer monitors in front of him with the data coming back. And so, you know, and that's been done multiple times before. So there's a precedent here. You just can't be, you know, NASCAR said, yeah, you can do this. You know, obviously college football has said, you know, officially you can't. But I'm willing to believe that there's probably a way to figure that out. It's Nick Saban. If anything else, he could just do some, like, you know, Emperor Palpatine hologram.
Ryan McGee from ESPN on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Ryan, specifically from the football part of the matchup between Alabama and Georgia, which, by the way, you can hear tomorrow on ESPN 94.9, kickoff at 7 p.m. It's the classic case of a phenomenal offense going up against a phenomenal defense. What do you make of this matchup on the field?
Last team playing defense in the conference, right? I mean, I'll say this. We got to give Kentucky credit. They held the air raid to 2 points.
So they did.
There's something there, but Georgia, We had Najee Harris on Marty McGee on Wednesday. In fact, we recorded it before we found out that Nick Saban was going to be gone. But he was licking his chops because, you know, why did you, you know, the question was, why did you come back for your senior year? And the answer was, it was to face a defense like Georgia's defense. And he has been very open about the fact that they're just really, really good. So, yeah, if we're going to have people out there screaming and yelling, I want an old-school SEC, you know, 15-13 game or whatever, if we're going to have one of those, you know, this is the best opportunity to have that. That's not what it's going to be. I mean, there's going to be plenty of points in the game, but there are going to be moments that feel like, you know, the old 9-6 games.
Yeah, and I mean, the Georgia defense, I was awfully impressed. I'm sure everyone was with the way they played in that Tennessee game. What is your takeaway from that game from the Tennessee perspective, Ryan?
Well, it hung. I mean, you know, we said it last week. You know, the fact that I didn't think Tennessee could win that football game, but the fact that the conversation was even taking place, and you know, and the television ratings were what they were because they're relative again. And so, yeah, it's. I think your takeaway from that is that Georgia has arguably the deepest roster in college football, and Tennessee, I think it's very safe to say, does not. And so the fact that they hung as long as they did, the schemes were there, right? I mean, the X's and O's were there. And the difference is that you saw a roster that was willing to keep the hammer down the entire game as opposed to, you know, not to bring up bad memories for Tennessee fans, but the Georgia game in particular has been, you know, a haunted house. You know, I think back, I think I mentioned last week, that last Butch Jones, the day the Butch Jones era ended was – the end of the first quarter of the Georgia game was 4 years ago, 3 years ago. I was there and actually left the press box and went outside to take pictures of everyone leaving at the end of the first quarter. Mm. And so this team was not that team. This was a team that was dug in. And, again, the schemes were there. They just, you know, they ran out of bodies in the fourth quarter. And, you know, against Georgia, they just were wearing them down. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of uptake there. Obviously, there's – you know, listen, the quarterback situation is what it is. I know a lot of people aren't happy about that, but you know what? That's what you got, and that's what it's going to be. And the fact that they hung at all with that team, which could be the best team in the country, if you're a Tennessee fan, I know there are no moral victories, but it sure felt like one.
Ryan, we know you're a big Star Wars guy. So have you seen, like, this neck gator contraption that Jeremy Pruitt is, like, putting on top of his head? Looks like a Jedi Knight out there. What have you made of that?
Yeah, I just – So the best part of all this is my wife, who is from Knoxville, you know, Tennessee alum, sang at Dollywood. I mean, I met her on the Hill. But she refuses to watch games because she's convinced that when she watches the games, that's when Tennessee blows leads. And to be honest with you, I have a lot of evidence. So I don't mind her not watching. But yeah, so she walked in last week about halfway through the second quarter, and her running commentary on what am I looking at with Pruitt, and isn't that the one part of his body he's supposed to be covering up that he's not covering up? And can you get COVID through your ears? And her immediately is the one that pointed it out, that it looked like Smokey, the famous picture of Smokey on the sideline with the blanket pulled around his head, right? So but the running commentary of that, and the babushka, that was it. She's like, this is like a babushka. I was like, well, I don't know what that is. And I started Googling pictures of babushkas. So it was me Googling pictures of babushkas in the middle of the Tennessee-Georgia game is about the most 2020 thing I think I could possibly say.
All right, well, I'm going to stick with the Vols. I need your help on something, Ryan. So I've been doing a lot of interviews this week with Vol Twitter members, okay? I'm doing something on Vol.
They love me. So please continue. I'm the expatriate, so please continue.
See, I didn't even know this. You've been exiled from Vol Twitter?
No, it just depends on what year it is, but who knows. It's I went to school there, so I don't defend them enough, and I'm like, y'all, what was I supposed to defend, you know, right, the last year? But we're going. Please continue.
Well, I just wondered if you've got one, one member of Vol Twitter. I picked 10 based on people's responses, but I'm just curious if you've got a favorite or someone who people should follow. There, I tell you what, there's some amazing people and stories behind some of these Twitter accounts as you can imagine.
Well, you know who I miss is General Nealon.
Yes.
There was a General Nealon account that was awesome and used to live tweet during games. And I think among all of the collateral damage of the last year of the Butch Jones era, I think that the General Nealon Twitter account just kind of quit. I would really love to see that awaken. And, I'm really curious. I need you to send me your list.
Yeah, I'm
going to go look through my mute Twitter list, and I want to see how many people that are on your list of the quote-unquote great ones that I actually muted at some point, because it did get pretty bad for me when the team was struggling, and I was very vocal. And honestly, I defended Butch sometimes, and I think that was kind of the disconnect was, sometimes it just didn't work. I never questioned Butch Jones's heart. I just think he paid way more attention to listening to what people like us said. He should have been paying more attention to the game plan for Vanderbilt that weekend.
Totally agree.
I told a story. I got in trouble with Butch because I kept telling this story about this conversation he and I had the morning of that Georgia game, and I guess he thought it was private and I thought it was on the record. But that'll happen from time to time. But yeah, so the point is, I want to see your list because. I lost a lot of Twitter friends that fall, and mute this conversation. Mute is my favorite button. I don't block.
Me too.
When you block, you give them some satisfaction. When you mute, they're screaming at you, and they don't know that they're just screaming into an empty broom closet all day.
It's absolutely the move. The block gets people excited.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mute's the way to go.
The whole Confederate flag thing with NASCAR this year. If I was getting paid per mute click, I'd be living in Pensacola right now.
Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex. Ryan, great stuff, man. Hope you have a good weekend.
Anytime, boys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I'll send him my list.
I feel like everyone's got some experience with Vol Twitter. Like, there's very few people that go untouched by Vol Twitter.
I don't. I have experience with Auburn Twitter.
Well,
wow, that's true. Went down a rabbit hole during that. And what's funny about it is it was all due to basketball. It wasn't even nothing
really
to do with football. Yeah. This was back when, like,
that's a real rivalry.
This was back when I was covering Alabama basketball and I was defending Avery because he made some comments about basically, he was like, look, man, I'm scheduling some pretty tough non-conference games, unlike a lot of other people in this conference. He was taking a shot at Bruce Pearl. Who basically Bruce Pearl was like just cakewalking through these non-conference games while Avery Johnson was competing in some harder ones. And so I defended that. And then, Auburn Twitter.
I'm sure every SEC, I'm sure every single SEC fan base has a Twitter presence that's, potent. But I tell you what, I would love to see some sort of way to rank the intensity of Twitter for teams. Vol Twitter
has to be way up there. I love it.
It's Vol Twitter. I think Vol's Twitter, Auburn Twitter,
FSU
Bama
Twitter.
Bama Twitter.
Oh,
man.
Sure. I mean,
man, look, Bama Twitter, man.
Bama Twitter is spoiled.
Yes.
See, when you're like the opposite, like Vol Twitter, I think that creates an interesting dynamic.
You want to be entertained right now? Go to some FSU Twitter.
Oh,
from
boy.
Florida State. It is a disaster. At the moment. When we come back, it's another big week in the SEC, even though it's a little lighter on the schedule this week. We'll look ahead to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.